where strategy gaming meets good vibes. No stress, just critical moves. Welcome back to Critical Moves. This is now episode 24, I think. There's a lot in the bag. I'm joined by Nuno and Tim. Guys, are you well?
Hello, how are you guys?
Yeah, I'm quite all right. I'm doing good.
Excellent, excellent. Today we're going to be talking about the differences between turn-based strategy games and real-time games. Why some people prefer turn-based over RTS and vice versa. Tim is a staunch RTS player, multiplayer genius.
And, let's not go too far, okay?
just blowing smoke up your ass, man. You know, if somebody can't tell you how awesome you are, then you know, what kind of friend would I be? Tim, RTS is your favorite?
It's one of my favorites for sure. I do
between the two types.
So real time, yeah, absolutely. I think that there's a personality attached to each, probably, and I like the spontaneity of real time, like in the moment decision where you don't have a lot of time to think about it and you have to make an on the spot choice. And that's something that I appreciate, the fast pace of it, yeah.
So you think it's a harder game style to master?
No.
Because you have to be on the spot.
No, I think it comes down to your personality. For example, let's say turn-based, it's a different kind of skill set. And it's more calculative. You have to think like many steps ahead. And you have to, okay, next turn here. And then in five turns, it will be like that. And it's a different kind of thinking that you're doing. But I wouldn't say one is better or more this or more that. It's just a different thing. And for me, the real time, I don't have to calculate much. I make a different kind of calculation and it's more spontaneous. And that's what I appreciate. That's what I enjoy.
Okay, I mean, nobody... We've not come on here today to say that we are one or the other. I think that we all like both kinds of games.
Absolutely.
Nuno, what's your thoughts?
I guess I'm in the middle as well with you guys because I was thinking about... So my three favorite games are probably Age of Empires, which is real-time, then XCOM, which is turn-based, and then you have Combat Mission, which is an hybrid, so it's very hard to pick. To pick one, and I don't think I'll be able to, because sometimes I want to play RTS, sometimes I would just rather play a turn-based game, because they're usually a bit more chill. You can take your time, you can make your decisions, and you're not under that pressure of making minute-to-minute decisions or second-to-second decisions like you are in RTS. But on other times, I also like the frenetic experience of playing a fast-paced RTS, because that's exactly what I'm looking for.
So do you think it depends upon the mood that you're in then, really? Do you think that that's
in my case, I would say so. I would say so. So sometimes I just want to, I want to play a couple of turns here and then I want to go to bed because I'm really tired. But if I'm on the mood to, today I have some time and I want to have fun with an RTS game, I will do it. So yeah, for me, it's more of a mood thing, to be fair. When you play so many strategy games like we do, sometimes I don't even notice the differences. It's weird, because it's just like, I enjoy them both so much that I really can't choose between them.
What about you, Al?
I'm going to be straight down the middle as well. And this is a very short episode, isn't it? Because we're all saying, yeah, they're both great. I think it really just depends upon the mood that I'm in. I would say that I do err on the side of RTS in terms of Red Alert game was one of my first loves. I moved on to Total Annihilation, onto Supreme Commander. I've dipped my toes into some turn-based, played Civ 2 a lot, as we've talked about in a previous episode. But I'm going to fall on the side of RTS. I'm not saying that turn-based games are bad. I really do enjoy turn-based games as well. But I'm an RTS player through and through.
Me, having talked to other people who do have a specific preference to turn-based games, I've often found them to be perfectionists. Because when it comes to real time, you have to make not the absolute best decision, but the best decision you can come up with within the limited time frame that you have. And if you're going to look to make the absolute perfect decisions, you're going to be thinking a long time about it, and so much time will have passed by that whatever you do will be a worse decision than if you had made like a medium decision but had made it immediately. And that's where the calculation is different with the real time. You're always looking to make like, oh, let's make a decent to good decision, but right now. Whereas with turn-based, you have like all this time where you can spend time thinking, what's the absolute best decision to make? I mean, that's if you're try-harding, of course. I mean, if you play casually, that's quite different. But you have like all this time to calculate, okay, so if I go here, that's like 7 over there. But if I do that, that's like 12 minus 3. So it's kind of like a different type of calculation that you're making in your head about the strategy specifically.
I suppose it's a bit like chess, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And we know that chess is one of the oldest strategy games. Very obviously turn-based. And I guess that there's parallels you can draw between turn-based games and those original ancient board games as well.
Well, actually, it's really interesting that you bring it up because there's a variation of chess called speed chess. And there you have a very limited timer and it completely changes the game. And big chess players, you find that as well, that they do have a preference for one or the other. And then with speed chess, it's also a different kind of thinking because you don't have so much time to think ahead and you have to make like quick decisions one after the other. So I think that the duality there exists in chess as well. And I find that really interesting. And some people do fall on that spectrum of preferring one over the other or sometimes being in the middle.
You were talking about, I'm sure in a previous episode, you were talking about a game of Civilization. I can't remember which one it was, where you had limited turn times, which almost made it RTS-like presentation.
Yeah, you can set it in the settings. If you play even single player in Civ 6, you can set the timer. And I think the other Civs as well. You can set a timer to how long do you have for your turn. And this is especially relevant in multiplayer. You can play Civilization 6 in multiplayer and have like a 30-second timer. So you only have 30 seconds to put your turn, to make your turn. And then you can't think of like, oh, my district, I'm going to put it here next to the forest because, you know, like you're just like, oh, I'm going to put a district and bam.
So you can't be optimal. You can't optimize your...
You can't be perfect, exactly. And then, the thinking is like, not what is the perfect solution, is like, what's good enough?
Do you think that when it comes to the multiplayer side of things, you get more people who want to play RTS multiplayer than you get people wanting to play turn-based?
So I would say the turn-based tends to be longer. And there's more downtime as well. Although modern games, more than turn-based games, have done a pretty good job of like overlapping the turns. So you play the simultaneous turns, and older games hadn't figured that out yet. And that made it really dull to play turn-based because you had to wait so long. But with modern turn-based, it's already a lot better. But even then, these games tend to last a lot longer.
See, one of my first multiplayer experiences was playing Worms, Hot Seat.
Yeah.
So one player took their turn, they got out the seat, the next person took their turn. And I suppose those days have gone now with the onset of fast internet. I mean, I'm sure we can all, maybe Tim not so much, but we can all remember dial-up. And
I remember
how
atrocious
it was.
I remember
you
that.
You don't remember dial-up.
Yeah,
you're a child, man. You're just a child. What are you, like 13 or something like that?
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure Tim is older than me, by the way.
No, he's not.
Yeah,
no,
he is.
Not. You're ancient, Nuno.
How old are you, Tim?
He is.
And by the time this episode comes out, I'll be 35.
See, he's older than me.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't look older than you. You look ancient. Tim's like the Peter Pan of critical movies.
No, I do look young. I've heard that a lot. Talking about old strategy games and how it used to be, board games are all turn-based as well. I don't know if you guys play a lot of board games, but the strategy board games, they're all turn-based. And I think that's then what something I enjoy about computer, about video games, is that it can do these awesome calculations that allow you to play a game in real time over the turn-based thing.
You know that for quite a while, I thought like that as well, because I've never been that much of a board game player, mainly because in Portugal, usually we don't play a lot of board games as a whole. And I grew up playing RTSs, so my logic was exactly that. I usually, when I was younger, I used to think that turn-based were very stupid, and I remember being super disappointed when I wanted to play the first XCOM, and I was on my head. I never heard about it, right? So I was a kid. I was like, oh, I hope this is another strategy game. And for me, strategy games were only RTSs, because that's what I grew up with, and I remember being super disappointed when XCOM wasn't one of those. So yeah, I guess you can change with time, and you start to enjoy other genres or subgenres.
You mean as you get older, your brain stops working as well,
and you need to go
turn-based because you can't cope with RTS.
You know what's surprising? I this weekend I've been playing. This is going out, I think, in a couple of weeks, so I think there's no problem talking about that. I've been playing Burden of Command and Grit and Valor. So Burden of Command turn-based, Grit and Valor RTS. And it is actually the opposite. Whenever my brain is too tired for Burden of Command, because it's a more demanding game, I went back and play Grit and Valor, because despite being an RTS, it's way simpler to play. So, yeah, I think it comes down to mood and what you enjoy at the moment.
But I suppose that RTS games are the kind of games which you'll get younger people to play. The kind who play FPS or play action games are going to be more drawn to the action of an RTS, where it is intense, it is fast moving. You have to think on your feet. You've got to use your reflexes. You've got to use your instincts rather than being able to sit and plan these things. But when we talk about old games, we mentioned way back in episode 17, I think it was, when we did the Civilization franchise, and we said about how Sid Meier originally planned for the first Civilization game to be real time.
I didn't know about that. Well,
maybe you should listen to the episodes, Nuno. At least then we'd have one listener, or two, because I listen to them as well. Did you not know that? Well, you see, Critical Moves is educational. Nuno would have been educated if he bothered his ass to listen to the bloody podcast. Yeah. So to continue your education, Sid Meier originally planned for it to be RTS. Do you think if he had have done, because we all know that Civilization is considered by many to be like the granddaddy of strategy games. It's a massive franchise, a huge name in the genre. If he had not made Civilization turn-based, would we have such a vast amount of turn-based games now? Because that was what 1991. We're talking right at the start of the classic modern period of strategy games, of computer games.
I wasn't alive, so I can't talk about
it. No, I mean, I think that the market was quite saturated with real time strategy games. You know, we're thinking about Warcraft and Starcraft and so on, Command and Conquer, and then I do think that it is a different. There's overlap between players who enjoy turn-based and players who enjoy real-time, but there's also a separation. There's also some people who only will play turn-based or almost only, and there's people who will only or almost only play real-time. So I think the Civilization had its, like, market corner that it was able to attract people playing that, people that wanted to, like sit down, be chill, play with one hand, not with both hands, make something pretty, like get their civilization, make something that looks pretty, have trade, have diplomacy, and that's something completely different than what the other games were offering. So maybe there would have been someone else doing it, I don't know, but it definitely had its corner of the market that it was able to attract players that otherwise would not have ever been interested in strategy, I think.
I think it's quite fascinating when you look at the history of game design, game development, because Civilization was 1991, I believe. Dune 2, which is considered by many to be the first of the modern RTS games, was 1992. And of course, that was from Westwood, who then went on to do Command & Conquer and Red Alert, and that spawned this entire industry, almost, of RTS games. It'd be quite interesting if Sid Meier had been the first, or considered to be the first RTS game with Civilization, and how that would have impacted the development of these two particular branches. May not have had any difference at all, but I just think it's an interesting thing to think about, how if he hadn't have gone turn-based, would we have seen Westwood do what they did? Would somebody else have picked up the mantle of turn-based?
And if you look at still RTS games released today, they still share a lot with Dune 2, you know, that really old game.
Oh, yeah.
I'm wondering if maybe RTS games would have had a little bit more of other factors that are missing nowadays, you know, like things like diplomacy. Like, diplomacy is almost completely non-existing in almost every single RTS game ever made. It's very rare that diplomacy is a thing in an RTS.
It is limited, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is limited. I mean, I think in multiplayer, you may decide that you're gonna ally with a friend against mutual enemy, but you don't have the, and I'm not saying that Civilization has a really complex diplomatic mode,
but it's dynamic,
and it's nowhere near, but RTS, you don't really get that many in the way of empire builders, do you, RTS games? But then you've also got to consider, I suppose, in your grand strategy type of games, you get RTS versions of that, you get turn-based versions of that, 4X as well. I mean, Stellaris is an RTS, essentially. It is a real-time game, real-time with pause, you know?
Do you guys also think that turn-based might have been a technical choice? Because making all those calculations on the go at the time might have been difficult if you want to do a game as complex as Civilization. So it might have been a matter of hardware instead of design decision.
And that's why I think that games like Total War that stick to turn-based, I'm a bit disappointed with that, because I feel like it stems from this tradition that maybe at the time it made sense, but I just wish that they would move on and make a real-time version, even if it's slow and has like a turn-based feel because of how slow it goes. I still think it would be a better game if it was not so blocky. You know, the turn-based makes it very, everything is put into one block, one unit. Okay, how far can a unit move? Well, one block, and then you see next turn where it can move, and I would like to smoothen that out with the real time.
I don't think that Creative Assembly have the stones to turn Total War into a real time game. I think that they would ostracize their legion of fans if they went real time.
Probably.
Because everyone's used to playing Total War in a certain way. And the change, I think they would be, there'd be hell on. But that doesn't mean that there's no other companies who could produce something similar. We look at the Civ clones. Mm-hmm. These games have essentially been copied. Somebody could make a Total War game and make it real time. I'm sure they could. So developers, do it, because Tim wants to play that.
I do, actually. Like, legitimately, if you make that game, I'll buy your game and buy your coffee too.
If anybody knows of any games like that which are in development, then please get in touch. Please drop us a message on our Discord or wherever, because we'll be interested to look at that.
Are there any games that have a RTS campaign and then a tactical level that's RTS as well? I'm thinking about it. I don't think so.
So like an RTS world map and then...
But basically like Total War, it's always RTS. There's a game... you're going to love this one all. An American Civil War game called Grand Tactician.
Did you say Civil War?
American Civil War, yes. Oh, yeah.
for those of you at home not seeing Al's face, he seems very, very... I'm not sure if it's disappointed or irritated, but it's definitely something along those lines.
I'm not irritated. It's just there's never been a more boring conflict. but wasn't Empire at War... The Star Wars, that a similar sort of thing?
Yeah,
there was RTS, the whole space thing was RTS, then you would do your ground battles. See, now that's something that we can get on board with, Star Wars.
Yeah.
Civil War, Star Wars is where it is.
Yeah, Empire at War was exactly that. It was all the way real time. And I thought that played so much more smoothly than something like Total War. And it was a great game and very loved as well. I still play today, actually. And then on the other spectrum, you have Heroes of Might and Magic, which is turn-based on the campaign map, but then also turn-based in the combat.
But two different types of game.
Yeah,
basically. What do you guys think about RTS games with boss? This is something I would like to hear from you, because I see a lot of people that refuse to play an RTS if they can't pause the game, and there are another field of people that think that pausing an RTS is almost criminal. So what's your opinion on that?
For me, I think that RTS with pause is absolutely fine, but I'm a single-player gamer, so I like to be able to pause the game and go for a wee or make a cup of tea and not come back and find that I've been overrun. But you never see in multiplayer RTS, you never see pause being used there. It tends to be you start the match, you play the match through to conclusion. You may at some point say, right, time out, it's been an hour, if it's a long-winded Forged Alliance game or something like that. But Tim will be the expert on that. If you're playing your Beyond All Reason game, do you ever pause in a multiplayer match?
So a common player count for Beyond All Reason is 16 players. That means that it is... regularly, it's quite common actually to have someone be like, damn it, there's someone at the door, or something has come up and I just need like 1 minute. It is a thing to pause a match. Matches are also between, I don't know, 20 and 30 minutes. That's like an average game time. Now, one important thing that Beyond All Reason we've implemented is an option in the lobby to either enable or disable commands during pause. And this was especially important for tournaments. So during one tournament, something happens to one of the players and they had to pause for like 5 minutes. And then their opposing player, this was like right in the middle of the match, their opposing player was able to like... put like 100 different commands and plan everything like the next 5 minutes out with like tons of commands. And this way it felt the other person, they came back and like, okay, let's unpause, we can play. The match continued, but they were at a severe disadvantage. And so this option to not allow commands during pause was implemented so that during tournaments, if something came up, it would be kind of fair to all players.
That sounds quite reasonable. To prevent, because I can't imagine that people, I mean, maybe when you've got 16 people playing a game, you may have, as you say, someone's at the door someone needs a wee or a cup of tea. But if matches are only 25 to 30 minutes long, you know, just tie a knot in it. You know, why do you need to have a wee before you start the match?
Yeah. It's good courtesy, but you never know if something happens, you know, like... Or someone's connection falls out and they're trying to rejoin the game or something like that. Or someone's computer crashes, they have to restart the computer. It does happen like from time to time. And then it's quite important to be able to pause in that multiplayer context.
So we've talked in the past about how AAA studios have abandoned RTS, and we are relying on our indie developer friends to keep real-time strategy games going. But is the same true of turn-based games? I mean, Civilization, the most recent one, Civ 7, is of course a AAA title from a AAA studio. Do you think that we're going to see a steady decline in turn-based games as well?
I don't think so. I think the market is pretty stable at the moment. And if you look at these 2025 releases, you have a bit of everything. I think maybe you have more RTS this year than you do have turn-based strategies. But, I mean, the fact that the Civilization game came out is proof enough that there's a lot of interest in that. And the game sold quite well, despite not being all that great at release. So I don't think so. I think things are going to be very stable at the moment for the rest of the year.
Also, two popular franchises, Total War and Paradox Interactive Games, they're both kind of a bit of a hybrid of real-time and turn-based, right?
Yeah. Probably you're going to see Europa Universalis 5 this year as well.
Yeah.
And maybe a new Total War?
What would you categorize that as? Turn-based or real-time? In a way, it's kind of both. And maybe that's part of its strength, is that it can appeal to both players. Like some people, I think, play like a turn-based game where they end pause until something happens, then they pause, and then they're thinking like, what am I going to do here? And then other players just have it on like speed three all the time and just like dynamically, constantly do things.
I think that... Yeah, grand strategy games, at least for me, I play them. I'm always constantly pausing them to make the decisions because it's not that it's stressful or anything. It's just I really don't want to lose that aspect of decision making and don't want to lose timing because I left the game on 4x speed and now a lot of things are going past me and I think I'm losing a part of the experience. It's more about that. But I think that grand strategy games are almost a subgenre in and of themselves instead of being like turn-based or RTS. But one of the reasons I think turn-based works so well at the grand scale is that it's a lot more easier to make decisions. Like, it's a lot easier to plan strategy when you're paused. And then it's a lot easier for you to run the game when all the calculations are being made at once instead of the all happening at the same time if it was an RTS, because these games can be quite taxing on our computers. So I think that's the main reason why turn-based grand strategy games exist, basically.
I suppose it's probably less resource intensive, isn't it, to have a turn-based game.
Yeah, you can just run the calculations for, and people won't be upset, right? Because if you have an RTS game that's constantly stuttering because the computer is trying to calculate something, it's going to be a bad experience. But whenever you're playing a turn-based, you already know that you're going to be waiting for the computer to end, so you're really not that upset about that.
Yeah, it's all about how many turns per second you have, right? Like, if you have a real-time strategy game, in a way it is turn-based, but just every turn is like one hundredth of a second, right? So that's like, how often does the computer have to calculate it? Is it like once every 5 seconds, or is it 100 times per second?
I think at least in the beginning it came down to that, but Paradox did a great job with the Crusader Kings, Europa Universalis, and Hearts of Iron.
Yeah.
Because, you could say that those are... They're not RTS in the traditional sense, but they're strategy games that do happen in real time with a pause option.
It's in the gray zone, right? It's really in between.
I just want to bring the discussion to games that are true hybrids, and I'm thinking about a war game called Combat Mission here, which you can play as a turn-based game or as a real-time game, and you have the option to decide how you want to play that scenario, and there's really no wrong way to play the game. I think the best way to play that, because it's supposed to be a realistic game, should be real-time, because you can make decisions in real-time when you're on the battlefield, and you can react to what's happening. But a lot of the community says that the game should be played turn-based. So again, you always have these polar opposite views of the same thing.
There's another really interesting hybrid like that. Terra Invicta has the space game that is like very real time, but then when you're on Earth and you're making decisions about where your counselors go to take missions, they take missions every 2 weeks. And so the 2 weeks is basically one turn. So at the beginning of it, you said, oh, you go over there, you go over there, you do this, and then you press play, and then they will do their missions over the course of the next 2 weeks, and you have to wait those 2 weeks until you give them new missions. So it is like absolutely a turn-based game, even though you're playing the game day by day, and then and space, it's like a real time. So it's that's also very interesting. A dynamic of the real time versus turn-based.
I think there's no wrong way to go about it, right? If you're a game designer, the best you can do is adapt your mechanics to whatever resources you have available and what kind of experience you're trying to design for the player. Because some people really love turn-based games, others just really love RTS. Some people only enjoy grand strategy games. So it usually comes down to just personal preferences and what you're trying to design for people. And if your mechanics fit the theme of the game, and if they're not ham-fisted in, I think every approach is valuable. And I could see a game like Civilization being real time and probably work as well. And I could see something like Crusader Kings being turn-based and work as well. And if you go down to the tactical level at RTS, I think most RTSs would probably be good turn-based games as well. I think it just comes down to what kind of experience do you want to give, you want to offer people.
When I first played Crusader Kings, I expected it to be turn-based.
Oh, yeah.
Because the setting, the scale, I just expected this to be a turn-based game.
Yeah.
So I was a bit surprised. And I think because I was expecting it to be turn-based and I wanted it to be turn-based, and it was almost like I didn't enjoy it as much as maybe I should have done, because I wanted a particular experience. You know, it's I don't know. It's preferences, isn't it? Of the two, then, of real-time strategy or turn-based, which is going to be the dominant force moving forward? Because when you look at the past, there's been over 600 RTS games released since 1991, and there's been half that number of turn-based games. So as we move into the future, 2025 and beyond, which is going to be the dominant method of playing strategy games?
I would say definitely that hybrids does have a big role in it, and we were just talking about how Paradox games are a little bit of a hybrid, and so is Total War, and so on. So I think there's definitely room for either a combination or a gray zone or something like that. But all in all, I do think that real time is a smoother experience, a more advanced gameplay mechanic. And I think that some people that have concerns with real time, you know, like, oh, I want a chill experience, and oh, I want to think about it, things before making a decision, which is a absolutely valid preference, that can still be fit into a real time game if the real time game is well designed for that. So I think like long term real time is just like a better game design.
See, it's interesting you say that because I would always think of, in terms of complexity, I would always think of turn-based games being far more complex because you've got economy, you've got diplomacy, you've got war, you've got settlement management, you've got so many different streams that you need to work with. But what you're saying there is that RTS is more complex.
So what I would say is that we're used to RTS in like very fast paced, but you can have real time and have it to be simply a slower pace, and then it plays very similarly to a turn-based game, but your decisions are maybe not so one and zero, but they fit more of a grayscale of like, okay, I'm making a decision that's not all the way yes or no, which you kind of need to in a turn-based game. Because you press the button, ends turn, and then your decisions are acted upon, yes or no. Whereas with real time, you have more room for, yes, I'm going there, and actually now that some time has passed, I'm reconsidering that.
So I was looking at some data that I have collected for a couple of lists I made, and over the last 20 years, there's been somewhat of an equilibrium here about the top, the best selling strategy game of every year since 2004. So things are probably a bit tight. But looking at the releases that we're gonna have in 2025, I think RTS is gonna be the dominant force this year, or at least games that are inspired by RTS, I should say, because there's a lot of How do you know when in a couple of years ago we had that whole boomer shooter thing where every shooter game was trying to be Doom again? I think that what we're seeing in 2025 is that you have a lot of developers that are trying to bring back the old Command and Conquer style of RTS. So we're probably gonna have a resurgence of that. But yeah, I think RTS is going to dominate 2025.
Well, we're almost, a third of the way through 2025. So you're looking at the games which are being released this year and you think it's more RTS than
turn-based. Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Or is that not just because those are the games you've looked at?
I'm sorry?
It's not. Maybe you've been looking at four particular types of games.
No, I just this is a list I compiled at the end of 2024. And I researched like the highest profile games, you could say, that we're going to be releasing this year. And I didn't necessarily choose them because most of them I didn't even know they were going to come out, and some of them I didn't even know they existed. Just by compiling everything, I came to the conclusion, oh yeah, most of the games are going to be RTS this year. But like I was saying, I really hope that we can have a bit of everything because I enjoy Both subgenres.
Was Civilization 7 on your list?
It was. It was on my list.
Because I can't imagine there's any RTS games that are coming out this year which are as high profile as Civ 7. I guess what I'm getting at is that when you look at the games which are being released this year or have been released and are due to be released for the rest of 2025 in the strategy gaming arena, there's probably nothing which is anywhere near Civilization VII in terms of its the amount of money that's been put into the development of that game.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. Unless a new Total War comes out, I absolutely agree with you.
Well, I think we can agree that money put in does not equal quality game, right?
I'm saying nothing about quality. As we said in a couple of weeks ago, when you, Joe, and Adam were together, and we said Civ 7 sucks, play these instead. No one's saying that spending loads of money is a hallmark of quality. But when we're talking about dominant themes or dominant forces in strategy games, there's nothing which comes close in 2025 to Civilization VII, which is a turn-based game, and yet we're saying that RTS is going to be the dominant stream for strategy games. But then we have this: is it just a blip? Is it just an outlier? Should we ignore it because it skews the data so far? Because it probably has a development budget which covers most, if not all, of the RTS games all in one for this year.
Yeah, but I think Civilization here is probably an outlier because it's not necessarily the reason for its success is not because it's a turn-based strategy or an RTS, but it's because it's Civilization itself, right? So it's brand recognition and people have an history with that. So what I was saying is that looking at the amount of games that look like they're going to be releasing in 2025. You have more RTSs releasing than turn-based strategy. Now, if they're going to be making more or less money, or if they're going to have a bigger impact on the scene than Civilization, that I can tell you. But what I see is that there are more RTSs releasing. But yeah, if you account for all their revenue, they probably won't be making as much money as Civilization.
No,
But
no.
I'm still hoping that we get the Total War with Star Wars this year.
Broken Arrow, Zero Space, Sanctuary, Tempest Rising, Dorf, those are all RTS games.
Oh, yeah. And I imagine that the revenue that they make, as much as Civilization has been a critical, I'm not going to say failure, but the reviews are mixed. It's not done particularly well. I'm sure it's made some money. I bet it's made more money than those other games you've just mentioned there, all bundled into one, will make.
Not
And
sure if that it made that much money, but yeah,
the
I can
price
see.
tag is also really high.
What is it, 60? Is it still 60? I'm surprised it's
70.
not
It's
on
70
sale.
euros.
Seven? Yeah, but that's fake money. In real money, in English pounds, it's 60.
How many double cheeseburgers is that?
Oh, inflation, man. It only buy you a couple. No, it's shocking. It's shocking. Any final thoughts before we wrap this up?
Play the thing you enjoy the most. That's all. That's my final thought on it.
So that's Nuno sitting squarely on the fence,
I'm the ultimate
where you
fence
started
sitter
at
when it
the.
comes to this. If you force me to choose, I don't think I could. It's pretty much
No one's
impossible.
asking you to choose. No one's
Yeah,
asking you to choose.
that's the beauty of video games, is that you don't have to choose.
I just want to see Total War with Star Wars this year. That's all.
Not this year.
Oh.
But I tell you what we'll do. We'll do an entire episode on Star Wars Total War. Or would it be Total War Star Wars? Which way around is it? Answers on a postcard.
Total
Total
Star
Star
Wars.
Wars?
Yeah.
Did you
Star
both say the same thing then?
Star Total War.
Total Star Wars.
Total War Stars. Star War
Yeah,
Total.
okay. So with deep confusion, we'll say goodnight there. Check out criticalmovespodcast.com. That's where you'll find all the best ways to get in touch. You can also visit our new criticalmovesforum.com
Oh wow, fancy.
if you are a old person like me and you
An old
prefer
fart
the an old
forums.
fart. Hold on, you're 35, so how's about you get back in your box? Criticalmovesforum.com. Give it a visit. Sign
Well,
up.
for anyone under the age of 60, we have our Discord as well.
Yeah. On that bombshell, fuck off. Were you going to say something else, or have you?
I was going to say thank you for tuning in, listening at home.
As Tim says, thank you for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Share this with somebody else that you think may enjoy us being all vanilla and sit on the fence about things rather than arguing. We've been Critical Moves. Thanks very much. Take it easy. Goodbye.
Cheers.
See ya.